Hi, this is Reverend Kip Laxon. I'm the senior pastor at Muncie Memorial United Methodist Church in Johnson City, Tennessee. And this is my podcast of my weekly sermons. I've entitled this podcast, Preaching Now. Thank you for joining me, and I take you now to the live worship service at Muncie Memorial. Preaching Now with Pastor Kip Laxon.
6 weeks ago, I began a series of messages entitled, The Bible Tells Me So, Half-Truths, Clichés, and Other Misnomers. And over the course of these past 2 weeks, we have considered many popular clichés that we often hear in our culture. We've considered, I'm spiritual, but not religious. God just needed another angel in his heaven. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. God won't give you more than you can handle. Everything happens for a reason. And last Sunday, forgive and forget. And we have considered each of these in turn to find the deeper reality or the deeper truth. And today we come to the final one, this climactic one in this series. And perhaps you've heard it before. God helps those who help themselves. I kind of get a warm fuzzy feeling because I remember as a child I would often hear that said in one way or another, particularly when I didn't want to do something or I was involved in something I didn't want to be in, and I would hear often said, well, you know, God helps those who help themselves. What I would like to do this morning is I would like to ask you with me to consider three things. I would like you to consider the half-truth. Then I would like you to consider the untruth. And then I would like you to consider, finally, the real truth. So what is the half-truth? God helps those that help themselves. What is the half-truth of that? Well, the half-truth is this, that God is limited by our apathy. God is limited by our apathy. One said to another, do you know what the word apathy means? And the answer was, I don't know, and I don't care. Well, if that is your attitude toward spiritual things, guess what? You won't have a meaningful relationship with a living God. If we are apathetic in our desire to follow Christ, if we are apathetic in our desire to be a part of His church in the earth, if we are apathetic in our relationship with Christ, then we will live in a shallow spiritual sort of existence, just kind of going through the motions. That's a half-truth. You see, we have to make the initiative. We have to give the effort in faith. We have to dare to trust God, even when we may not feel like it, or when we look around at the world among us, we wonder, where is God and what is God doing? And yet we have to take that first step in following Christ. We have to make that effort in order to have that kind of meaningful relationship. We have to make the effort to open the Bible and begin to read. We have to get involved in a small group or a Bible study. We have to make that effort to get up every Sunday morning and get dressed and come and join with others who are on this journey of faith together. Yes, we have to give the effort. That is true. But that's not all of the story. Some years ago, Bill O'Reilly, who had a famous television show called The No Spin Zone. O'Reilly had a guest one day on his show. He was the senior pastor of the Fifth Street Presbyterian Church in New York City. And Fifth Street Presbyterian at that time, and I assume still today, has a very active ministry to the homeless and the unhoused community in the area around their church. And they were known for making a difference in the lives of homeless people. And this guest was on O'Reilly's show, and they were talking about the homeless problems and challenges that we face in this country and around the world. And I suppose that the minister said something that O'Reilly didn't like. It may have rubbed him the wrong way. And he responded and said this. O'Reilly said, quote, Jesus would have demanded that the homeless people shape themselves up or else, because we all know that passage in the Bible, the Lord helps those who help themselves. Oops. Bill O'Reilly is not a Bible scholar. And I wonder if he'd read it, but that might be for another day, because you will never find anywhere in the pages of Scripture, be it the Old Testament or the New, the words of Jesus or the words of the prophets, that phrase, God helps those who help themselves. It's just not there. Yes, we have to take the initiative. Apathy will keep us from having that kind of meaningful relationship with God, but there's more to that story. That brings me to the untruth. The half-truth? God is limited by our apathy. The untruth? Self-help is the best help. In 1967, an American psychiatrist by the name of Dr. Thomas Harris produced a best-selling book entitled, I'm Okay and You're Okay. And that marks the beginning of what we call today the self-improvement or the self-help movement. You can't go into a bookstore of any sort of size and see there will be a large section of self-help or self-improvement books. And some of the common titles today are, that you might find if you go to Barnes & Noble, look in the self-help, the self-improvement section, books entitled, Help Yourself. Or how about this one, Think and Grow Rich. Or here's one, Create Your Own Destiny, or I Believe in Me. Now, hear me clearly when I say this. There's much about the self-improvement that is important. We need self-esteem. We need self-worth. And there's many great ways in which people find help in times of depression or darkness or discouragement. But that's not where it ends. Self-help is not the best help, because we will soon discover that we need more than just a positive thought. We need more than just getting up in the morning and looking in the mirror, singing to ourselves, I love me, I love me. I'm just wild about myself. I love me, my picture's on the shelf. The self-help improvement, it ends there. We're kind of like the guy that was walking in the mountains on a hike, and he had gone along this little edge of a cliff, and he was looking down at the gully and the gorge below, and he wasn't paying attention, and he began to slip and slide, and he could feel the rocks moving out from under his feet, and he began to try to grab a hold of anything he could, and he's going now over the edge, and there was a tree that was growing out of the edge there of the cliff, and of course he grabbed a hold of that tree, and he's hanging there dangling down, and he knows what's below. He doesn't want to dare look, and he's holding, and he begins to cry out, is there anybody up there? Is there anybody up there? And much to his surprise, a voice responds, a voice that says, I'm here. Is there anybody up there? I'm here. And then the voice says, this is God. And he's dangling there, holding that branch, and then the voice says, let go, and I will catch you. And he says, is there anybody else up there? Is there anybody else up there? Self-help won't always get us where we need to go. What is the half-truth? Our apathy can get in the way of a meaningful, deep, life-giving relationship with the living God. It isn't true that we can do it ourselves always. You see, that's an American form of the gospel. Do it yourself. Pick yourself up by your own bootstraps. As Larry would say, get her done. That's all American in that sense. But it's not. Do you hear me? It's not the essence of the gospel. That brings me to the real truth. If you like the whole truth and nothing but the truth, what is the real truth? It is not God helps those who help themselves. But the real truth is that God helps those who can't help themselves. The very essence of the gospel is that we cannot save ourselves. We cannot redeem ourselves. We cannot free ourselves from our sins and insecurities. We cannot free ourselves from our foibles and eccentricities. We cannot free ourselves. There's much that we can do. There's much ingenuity within the human heart. There's much planning and accomplishment within the human mind. What we have accomplished in medicine and technology, science. But when it comes down to the real inner passion and desire to know the living God and to overcome those things in our life that keep us from really having that kind of relationship with Christ, we can't do it ourselves. I can't package it and pass it on to you. There are things in our lives that we cannot overcome without the help of a loving God. There's pain in our life that's real, that we cannot find healing without the work of God's Spirit within us. And we can't be the Church of Jesus Christ right here on this corner in Johnson City, Tennessee, simply by our own strength, power, and ingenuity. We need the work of God's Spirit to be at work within us, empowering us and strengthening us and filling us to be the people He's called us to be. No, you see, the real truth is God helps those who can't help themselves. All down through the pages of sacred scripture are stories of people just like you and me who went through hard times and discovered that without the help of God being there, what would they do? In the scripture that was read this morning, the psalmist begins with those powerful words, "If the Lord had not been my help," where would you be today? If the Lord had not been your help, where would I be? If the Lord had not been my help, I think of times in my life when I could not help myself, circumstances beyond my control, situations that I could not solve, I could not fix. No, you see, the real truth is that God is there to help in those moments, to show us the way when we've lost our way. The cliches fall away when we begin to realize that the truth of the matter is that God steps in the gap, in the place where we need it the most, in the times when we need it the most. And if we will turn to Him in that moment, He's there. He's there. I think of Joseph in the Old Testament story of his brother selling him into slavery, and he ends up serving as a slave in Egypt, and then the whole thing turns upside down, and he moves from the prison to becoming the prime minister, and he faces his brothers who sold him into slavery many, many years ago, and this was his moment of vengeance. Boy, he had the power. He could do it. The entire Egyptian army right behind him. But what does he do? He looks at them and says, "What you meant for evil, God has taken and turned it into good." He couldn't do that himself. He couldn't come to that moment himself. It was only by knowing that God was with him all throughout the way. I think of the Apostle Paul, a killer of Christians, a persecutor of the faithful, who has a divine encounter with God on the Damascus Road, and he transforms completely, even changing his name and becoming the most written author in the New Testament. He couldn't do that himself. Neither can you, neither can I. It is in that moment that we cannot do it, that we come to that moment where we say to ourselves and perhaps to others, "I've done everything I know to do. I've tried everything I know to try. I've given all that I can give." And in that moment, there is God to be at work in us when we cannot do it ourselves. When the fall season comes, I love the autumn season, and the leaves begin to turn and fall on the yard, and the crisp autumn air begins to fill our lungs and our hearts, our insides. I go back in my mind. I get nostalgic when the fall season comes around, especially as we get close to the Thanksgiving holiday, because in my family, we had a tradition when I was a child around Thanksgiving. My father and my grandfather bred and trained upland hunting dogs, bird dogs, English setters and English pointers mostly. And the quail season would always open on Thanksgiving week. And part of our tradition was on Thanksgiving Day, or maybe the next day, or maybe both of those days, we would find ourselves out in the wide open spaces, watching our bird dogs do their work. And it was a great bonding time for me and my grandfather and my father. And then when my grandfather passed away, and my father kept that tradition, and I did, and then my son came along, who's 30 years old now, but when he was but a little boy, he could not wait to that moment when he would get to go with us, with the big boys, out into the woods. And that day came. He was about 9 years of age, 10 maybe. He was going with us that day. We got him clothes, big, heavy hunting clothes and boots that fit his feet, and off we went. Loaded the dogs, Sam and Jack, in the back of the pickup truck, and off we went. And now we were out, and he was with us, and now we were passing that tradition down to him, and he didn't want any help. He wanted to do it himself. He wanted to climb over the barbed wire fences himself. He wanted to walk along with us himself. And I kept looking back over my shoulder to see if he was okay. But he would say, "I got it. I don't need any help. I can do it." He was with us now. He was one of the tribe. He was now part of the tradition. And we came to this long field that had been plowed and turned under, and there were stalks of corn still, and we were moving down the fence row, and the dogs were out ahead of us, and it had rained a couple days before, and so the ground, the soil was wet, and we were bogging down in the mud, and now we were crossing the field, and we were going over to the woods on the other side, and I kept looking back, and he was really having trouble. No, no, I'm okay. I can do it. I got it. And so I just moved on, and finally we began to lag behind. You know, he's getting farther and farther back, and we were getting closer to the woods. And then when we got to the edge of the woods and keeping an eye on Sam and Jack and over my shoulder to him, now I realized he had caught up with us. And he'd caught up with us quite in an ingenious way. Because as I got to the edge of the woods, I turned to look, and you know what he was doing? Somewhere along the middle of that field when he was kind of bogging down in the mud, he discovered that it would be much easier if he would put his little foot in the impressions of our footsteps that we had left in the mud. And now in these big wide strides, he was placing one of his foot in our footprints and another foot in our footprints. And he worked his way until he caught up to where we were, placing his little foot in our larger footprint. And he made his way across. You see, what he thought he could do himself, he couldn't. But what he discovered was that someone bigger than he had already walked across that field and had left behind the footprints large enough for him to place his feet in and make his way across. How often do we in our humanity say, I can do it, I've got it, I don't need any help, only to discover that there's someone bigger than you or I who have left us a path. And if we will place our steps of faith in the footprints that he's already left for us, we find that we can make it. We can make it. We can make it across. He's already prepared the way. He's already left the impression. He's already provided the path. And when we can't do it ourselves, and we find ourselves bogging down in life itself and the heaviness around us, if we but look with eyes of faith, we'll see that the path has been left for us. When we could not help ourselves, he traveled that path. Now he awaits for us to place one foot another, taking that step of faith, placing our feet in his footprints along the way. We find our way forward in faith. You may come to worship this morning with heaviness of heart and life. Your shoulders droop under whatever it is you find yourself going through. And perhaps you've been playing that mental game with yourself. I can do it. I know I can. I'm going to make it. I don't need any help. But what you've discovered is that there is one that is there to help you if you are willing. If the Lord had not been my help, like the old spiritual says, what would I do? What would I do if the Lord wasn't walking by my side? He is already made the path. Now it's up to you and I to take that step of faith and walk with him. No, God helps us when in that moment of our desperation, we don't know what to do. We don't know where to go. We don't know what to say. We don't know how to pray. It's in that moment God is there to say, this is the way. I've prepared it for you. Now come on in. And follow me. Follow me. Oh yes, he has made the way for us. Won't you take it? He will help you, especially when you just can't help yourself.